Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk to you today about the Kingdom of God. And particularly what we're going to talk about today is kings and priests. And it's a phrase that we see appearing in Revelations. It appears at least in chapter 1, verse 6. And it talks about these kings and priests and who they are and what they are. We're supposed to be these kings and priests. And to tell you the truth, I really don't see them, and I've written an article. It's going to appear here soon on News of Views, and it begins, "It is hard to find kings and priests in a land of the slave and the home of the afraid." And that's really what America has become. It's become a land of slaves. Now, nobody wants to think that. We're the freest country in the world. They love to repeat that phrase, but the truth is they're not really free. They're not the freest country in the world. They're not the freest nation in the world, that's for sure. There's a lot of places that have a great deal more freedom, a lot less regulation throughout the world. They're not necessarily safe places or safe havens. A lot of people want to talk about fleeing to other nations where they'll be safer than they are in America, because America is this kind of giant economy that it's created because of characteristics that were found in American society years ago, long since have gone away, don't exist anymore in America. And they're on the road in America to absolute economic collapse. And we've already seen a moral collapse just on the show before. This show, I heard them talking about someone who had been performing marriages for years is no longer going to do it because of the new law that says that he has to marry gays if they come to him. And so therefore he can't marry anybody or else he'll have to marry gays. It's like if you open up a hospital, you also have to provide abortions, even though you find that morally irreprehensible. And there's actually the danger of a lot of hospitals shutting down, insurance programs shutting down. I understand, and we'll have a program on this, on the insurance. Now, it used to be that the government was motivating people to buy health insurance by giving you an exemption. Whatever you paid for your insurance program would be as deductible as any medical expense, because it doesn't go to you, it goes to the insurance company, and therefore, and it's there not only to help you, but possibly to help other people who have that same insurance program, because if you don't get sick, the money goes to supposedly take care of them. Of course, that's not really the way insurance works. Insurance is to make money off of your fear of not having any insurance. And so people have no other alternative but to buy insurance, or they could be absolutely economically devastated by some sort of catastrophe in their family, a car accident or illness or fall or anything might bankrupt your whole family because of the medical costs. Of course, there's a solution to that. Just don't go to the doctor, just die and you don't worry about it. But we're all going to face death anyway. But you want your loved ones to survive. You want to survive. You want to be there for others. And so you go for medical help, and it's extremely expensive. I mean, it can absolutely bankrupt even a fairly well-to-do family. A minor accident that causes injury. Just having a baby can cost you $10,000, $20,000 with no real severe complications. That's staggering. That's unbelievable. But that's the way it's come about over the years. So what do you do? Well, you need to rely on the kings and priests. You see, that's one of the big problems is people don't understand what it means to be a king and priest. And what that particular phrase is really talking about when we look at Revelations. Revelations 1:6, it says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Well, that is really a loaded statement. I'd say 99% of the Christians who read it don't have a clue what it's really talking about there. One reason is they don't understand what it means to be made king and priest. And because most people who think they're Christians think that "us" refers to them. Because they only think they are Christians. They imagine themselves saved and they imagine themselves believers in the gospel of the kingdom, but they don't even know what the gospel of the kingdom is. They haven't even really heard the gospel of the kingdom. That's bold. People are going to take offense that I say that. I am telling you, make straight the way of the Lord, because your modern churches are not doing it. Like the minister who said, "Oh, I'm not performing marriages anymore because of the fact that now I have to perform gay marriages with this new law, and so therefore I'm going to give up $50,000 worth of income that I used to make performing these marriages at our chapel because I'm not going to marry any gays." And everybody says, "Well, he has taken a moral stand." Well, he hasn't changed anything. He isn't going to stop gay people from getting married. He isn't going to stop homosexuality. But what the problem is goes way deeper. He shouldn't have been performing those marriages anyway. He wasn't performing marriages for the dominion of Christ. Let's go back to that statement. Revelations 1:6, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." What is he talking about? Dominion. When you perform a licensed marriage, you're performing that for your father in Washington, D.C. That's right. You have permission to perform a legal marriage in Washington, for Washington, D.C., because that is the one that has the dominion over legal marriages through the states. And the states the federal government holds dominion over the states. Now, they like to think of themselves as the sovereign state of Texas or this state or that state, and they can withdraw from some of these programs and become independent. But they have no citizens. You know, you're not a citizen of the state anymore. You're a citizen of the federal government. Been that way since the 1800s. And it's been consolidated more and more by other subsequent acts. Look up our article on citizen versus citizen. You are a subject citizen of the federal government and a resident of your state. You're not a citizen of the state that you live in anymore. And so, therefore, if your state leaves the union, where's it's taking with it the federal citizens? Not going to be, because you are also collateral for the debt. You aren't kings and priests. You're merchandise. You're human resources. You don't even know what it means to be kings and priests. And yet you're claiming Revelations 1:6 that he has made us kings and priests. Are you doing the job of a king? Are you doing the job of a priest? Do you even know what those jobs are? Do you have any idea what is going on and what you are doing as kings and priests? No, because you aren't kings and priests, and you aren't doing the job. Let's take a look at some of these things, that what your job description would look like as kings and priests. When we say the phrase "made us kings and priests" in the biblical text, as I said, few understand the significance in the relationship of liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Where we are told in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast therefore in that liberty and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. When that fellow was performing those illegal marriages on the behalf of the state of whatever state he was in, I think it was California, doesn't really matter because they all have followed the same pattern. You were bringing that union of man and wife into a three-party contract. We described this very clearly in Holy Matrimony versus Marriage. We aren't making it up. We're using Supreme Court decisions. We're using state court decisions. We're using decisions and statements right in Black's Law Dictionary and in the laws themselves that state that when you enter into a marriage contract with the state, it is a three-party contract in which the state has dominion over that relationship. You go into divorce court, your children, the jurisdiction and authority over your children, the courts can now terminate your parental rights because they did not come from God, they came from the state, because you entered into a three-party contract covenant with the state. You aren't kings and priests, by no way, because you didn't rely on your Father in heaven's dominion and glory. You went to the glory of the United States and its dominion and said, will you bless our marriage? Will you join us together? What God has joined together, let no man take apart. But when you're joined together by the state has every right to take it apart. And you have made that choice, and you have made that choice because your pastors are brutes. Those soft-spoken, sweaty-palmed pastors who have been telling you about the gospel of the kingdom are absolute losers when it comes to being a part of that gospel. They don't know it. Now, they might want to repent. They might want to turn around and start preaching the real gospel of the kingdom where Christ has dominion in your life. But right now, what I see most of these pastors doing is not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're preaching the gospel of slavery and bondage and sending you back into merchandise because they told you it was okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It was okay to pray for benefits from the fathers of the earth. Go read our article, Call No Man Father. It is very simple. It is very clear in the biblical text. It is very clear once you put the biblical text in the context of history and language that when Jesus said, call no man on earth father, he was saying, don't go to these government leaders who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority and ask them for permission to marry. Enter into a holy matrimony. Don't go to them and ask them to take care of your needs. Your insurance needs, your health needs, your social welfare needs, your any of those needs. Start going to God and asking Him. Now, how do you go to God and ask Him for benefits? Well, you can go into your prayer closet and pray, but you actually should go to church and pray. I lost my job. I'm going to lose my home. Can I get some help? My wife is sick. My kids are sick. Where are you supposed to take your kids when they're sick? You're supposed to take him to church. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if they break a leg that you have to go to the church and the priest said it. No, there are people that should also be going to your church that know how to do this, that are medically trained, that are trained in these things, and they can help set it. And the people that are there at church will help pay his fees. And his fees will be moderated according to righteousness. Now, how do you do that? Well, you come together. You know, there's an insurance program that is not really an insurance program called the Good Samaritan, and it's almost like the kingdom. It isn't, but if you would gather together in congregations like the early church, you wouldn't need to go to the Good Samaritan. You would be the health, education, and welfare of your people. The Samaritans were... they were considered like dogs. They were considered like this racial group that the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with. But Jesus is talking about these good Samaritans doing what you should be doing and your churches are not doing. You should be taking care of those that get beat up, fall off the ladder, get in a car accident. You should be taking care of them at the church, whatever it takes. If it's a medical bill in ICU, fine, pay it. But if you had ministers who were working together, you could actually go and negotiate that bill. You know, you can still, and this will probably be taken away too in the future, you can still donate to the church and deduct it. No matter what church it is, it doesn't have to be 501c3 registered church. If it's a church, it's automatically considered deductible what you give. And that church go and negotiate your insurance bill. You could do that. But you have to come together first as a congregation to be health, education, and welfare for each other. And what that makes you, every member of the congregation is now king and priest. In his own family, he has dominion over what is in his pocket, what he earns with the sweat of his brow. That's what Christ was doing. Now, you're not in that place. You're in the bondage of Egypt. You're entangled again within the yoke of the bondage of Egypt, and we cannot discount that. We cannot make that go away with a wave of our hands. You're back in Egypt, and you're going to have to pay your tally a brick, but you need to learn what it means to be in a free society. Few comprehend that this reference to being kings and priests is about being freemen in a free society, established and appointed of Christ, because they are under a strong delusion that has been brought to them by their pastors and ministers. Now, true, they may have been under a strong delusion as well, but this is why I am calling, and God is calling, them to repent and start seeking the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 21:43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You guys aren't doing that. You aren't bringing forth the fruits thereof. You are in debt up to your ears. You have a society that is morally bankrupt, a society that is falling apart at the seams, and you're not doing anything about it in your churches but waving your hands and singing songs. In Luke 12:32, Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's taking the kingdom from the Pharisees, the Jews, and giving them to other Jews who were called the apostles, the little flock. This is now the kingdom of God. There is no other kingdom of God. Those men and anyone who followed them by adoption were a part of the kingdom of God. A lot of preachers say, oh no, we cannot mix up the church and the kingdom of God and the promise to the Jews. The Jews said they had no king but Caesar. And personally, that's what most of the Christians have, no king but their president or their prime minister, whatever country they're in. That is who they give dominion over their lives, and they give them dominion over their lives to get benefits. And they want those benefits at the expense of their neighbor from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, even though Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. So if it is that way with you, then you're not a Christian. You're not a follower of Christ. You're not doing what he said. You're not keeping his word. You're not believing in his word. You're believing in the exact opposite of his word, and you are not a king and priest. You are not a part of the kingdom. You are not in his church, and you are not saved. And you need to repent and make straight the way of the Lord. Turn around and go the other way before it is too late. You're coming to a fiscal cliff. You've already gone over a moral cliff, but God is throwing you a rope, and it's called the truth. Grab a hold of the truth and start acting accordingly. In Luke 22:29, Jesus specifically talking to the apostles, having already said that you are not to be like the princes of the other nations, the government of the other nations, the leaders and rulers of the other nations. You're not to be like them because they call themselves these benefactors, but they exercise authority. In other words, if you need a coat, they will take one away from your neighbor. They will take one away from the rich or from whoever they can get it away from, and they will give it to you. And you just have to pray to them as the Father of you, the one who holds dominion in your common purse of socialism. Absolutely the antithesis of what Christ is saying. You're not to be that way. And everyone who prays to a minister or administer who will take the coat from your neighbor so that you can have a coat, will take money from your neighbor so that you can have welfare, food stamps, Social Security, who will take your sons and daughters and send them out to supposedly protect you from foreign invasion, whether real or imagined. That is the antithesis of Christ. That is the antithesis of God. That is a rejection of God, and that is what you've done. And all you people going to your Christian churches thinking you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're the ones that pounded the nails in. You're the ones that said you had no king but whoever he is today. Whoever your Caesar is, that's where you look, that's where you pray, that's where you seek your security. That's who you serve. You're a scattered flock in the kingdom of God. You're dead bones in the kingdom of God. But those dry bones can live again. You just need to repent and head back to your Father's house, to your Father's FEMA, Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary, to your Father's DHS, the Department of the Holy Spirit. Because that is the only real security you're going to have. Now, if you owe the tax, pay the tax. But start gleaning in the field at night for your benefit. Start coming together and looking to one another. In that Luke 22:29, he wasn't kidding when he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. A kingdom, not the kingdom. Christ has the kingdom, but a kingdom, a dominion, a right to have dominion is given to his church. To those men who will give up everything to follow in his ways. We explain all this in detail in the books and on the websites. And you can go read it all for free because we're not charging you for the Sermon on the Mount. How much did John the Baptist charge to tell you to make straight the way of the Lord? $50,000 a year, do you think that was his salary? No, he gave all that up to tell you the truth. And the truth doesn't pay very good in dollars and cents. But it pays a lot in the retirement program. It pays a lot in the heart of satisfaction that finally somebody is saying the truth. You deserve the iniquity that is coming upon you. But God will forgive you. But you have to turn around. You have to repent. You have to go another way. And that way is a way of sacrifice. That is a way of caring about others as much as you care about yourself. That means you have to start sacrificing for others. You have to start becoming that king and priest. King in your family. Rule over your family, not over your neighbor's family. You can't covet your neighbor's good in the kingdom of God. If you want eternal life, Christ was very clear. You have to keep the commandments. You won't keep them perfectly, and he's ready to forgive you, but you have to forgive others who also don't keep them perfectly, who would like to make you slaves and merchandise. You have to come to this with forgiveness in your heart, hoping that they too will repent. You have to come with giving in your heart, where you're giving up the life that God has given you for others, and then he will give you more life. This is the way it works. And if you can gather together with others who want to give up their life, sacrifice their life to provide their life for others so that others may see the truth, then there's hope. There's hope that God will give you more life. And we'll tell you more about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about kings and priests and the fact that most people who think they're Christians are not kings and priests. They're actually slaves and servants. And they're not slaves and servants of Christ. They're slaves and servants of other dominions. They have not been fruitful in the kingdom. They have not set men free, but they have become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. People do not understand that when you got the baptism of Christ, you no longer had access to the welfare system set up by the government of Herod and the Pharisees and their Congress called the Sanhedrin. That was a government. The temple was a government building. All the temples of Rome were government buildings. They carried out government jobs. They registered the births. They registered diplomat papers that came into the country. They registered contracts and land purchases. They owned land. So who was keeping track? The government was, and they were doing it in these temples. Those pagan temples were government buildings. The temple of Herod was a government building built by the taxes he charged. Yes, they were taxes. You could actually sign up with baptism and enter into a muster roll whereby you could obtain benefits from his temple in hard times. If you were blind, if you were crippled, they would support you through a system of welfare. This was extensive throughout all of Judea, throughout all of Rome. Everywhere almost had this system. There was other kingdoms outside of the Roman Empire that operated by faith, hope, and charity to some degree. And even the Romans did that. There were a great many Romans who built charitable institutions with free will contributions. That was still going on, more so amongst some of the Romans than there were amongst the Pharisees. The Pharisees were operating by this system of Corban that made the word of God to none effect. And they depended upon their king and their priests to provide them with social welfare through this system of Corban. People even said, well, I don't have to take care of my parents. They got Social Security. They'll get a Social Security payment. I'll put them in a home. They'll take care of them, and I'll take over the home place. And Jesus says this was making the word of God to none effect. You don't think that goes on today? That people who think they're Christians are making the word of God to none effect because they are not honoring their mother and father. They are not taking care of them. They require the king, the government, to take care of them. And they pay in their Corban in the form of Social Security payments. They are not kings and priests. They have hired other men to be kings and priests. And those other men who are kings and priests, those men carry guns. They don't carry swords anymore. They carry guns. And if you don't pay in because you've signed up or your parents signed you up, if you don't pay in, they will kick in your door. They will come with guns and shoot you or your family members. And they will force you to pay in to them because those are the kings and priests of the dominion which you are a part of and you have been brought into bondage under. And I can't get you out from underneath that bondage, but Christ can. But you have to turn around and start following him. You got to put up first. The prodigal son was not teleported back home to his father's house. He had to turn around and head back to the ways of Christ. What are those ways of Christ? Are you following in those ways of Christ? Are you doing what Christ said? Are you doing something else? Because your preacher said, oh, you don't have to do anything. You just have to believe. You don't have to repent and seek the kingdom of God like Jesus said. You don't have to do that. You just have to believe. That's a lie. That is a satanic lie, and it's coming out of your churches. Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Sounds like work to me. Now, will you earn salvation? No. You have to repent. It's still going to come by grace. But if you're not turning around, taking up your cross, and heading after what he said to do, then you're not saved. You don't believe in Jesus. And you're not worthy of him. That's what he says. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You can find lots of men that are dying for their king, their rulers, their dominion. They're dying in foreign wars all over the world. Russians did it, Americans do it, even the French do it. But that's not dying for him. That's dying for other dominions. Because those men aren't Christians. They haven't given dominion. Now I understand that this is often done through ignorance, and God is judge of these individual men. But I'm talking about the precepts here. Precept-wise, we have abandoned the kingdom. We have rejected God. And we need to repent and turn around. This is why we're not seeing the miracles, or you're not seeing the miracles that you need to be seeing. I'm not going to say I'm not seeing the miracles. But you're not seeing the miracles that you need to be seeing. And some of the miracles you see are false. They're not real. And we've explained that in other shows. But he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You've been giving to disciples of Satan. You have been giving to administrators of systems based on the sword upon those benefactors who exercise authority. And you may still have to give to them because you've made a covenant with them, a contract with them. A lot of people say, oh, where's the contract? Well, it's the fact that you went and got public school and health care and you were signed up and you've been sacrificing on that altar, and that's prima facie evidence that you're a part of that Corbin system. You can't just leave now because it's in debt. That's why they're in debt. They're not in debt because they're overspenders. They're in debt because they want you in bondage, and bondage is debt. And they're not going to pay off the debt because then you could go free. The only way out now is that you got to be kicked out. And when they kick you out, people will be starving in the streets. But God will be there for you if you will repent and turn around and be worthy of Him. Start taking care of one another. It's a big job. You can't do it. You can't... Excuse me. I should have practiced a little bit more before this. Usually I record a show before I start the show and get everything cleared out, but I haven't done that. It's too busy trying to get other people working towards the kingdom. Trying to answer the questions. I need more disciples of Christ helping me, walking with me. I'm not their leader. I'm not going to rule over you. I want Christ to rule over you in your spirit, in your heart. I want you to walk with me, not behind me. I want you to walk with me in seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is not righteous to send men to your neighbor's house and force them to contribute to your welfare. It is not righteous to give men the power of Saul. It will drive him crazy and corrupt him. But you have done that. People are complaining that, oh, we got the wrong president in the White House. It doesn't make any difference. You shouldn't even have a White House. You've got one, and you are subject to it. That is the dominion you have gone under. And the majority of the people want somebody who is a very powerful benefactor who can take from the rich and give to them. And they will keep voting in those kinds of men. And that's the workers of iniquity. And it will be like punishment to live under those men, whoever they are. But it is punishment, because that's why God allowed you to institute those governments. He let Samuel say, go ahead, give him a king. And he's going to take and take and take and take. He's going to make his instruments of war, and he's going to take your sons and daughters, and he's going to put them in harm's way for his purposes. He told you. It was repeated in Common Sense, paying quotes extensively from Samuel, saying this is what's going to happen, and you've done it again. You've done it again, and you think, oh, well, now if we could just get more voters to vote away all these benefits, vote away all these expenditures, balance the budget. How's that working out for you? Why do you keep trying the same thing and think it's going to get you a different result? I've been around for decades and decades, half a century and more. And it just gets worse and worse. And you keep trying the same thing. Like it's going to work. It reminds me of some guys in World War II in a submarine. I know these guys. Or at least I know one of the crew members. And they got strafed by their own allies. poked holes in the top of their submarine. They saw it was one of their ships, so they didn't dive. And then all of a sudden he comes flying over and he strafes them because he didn't recognize them. And he poked holes in the top of their sub and they dove down. And then they suddenly realized that they were going down and they couldn't level out. And they would blow ballast to put air in the tanks to keep them level. But the air would just go out through the holes they punched in all the ballast. And they kept going down and the ship was, you know, it was like one of these movies. You're creaking in her and pressure getting greater and greater, and they're about to be crushed. And the captain just kept, blow all ballast, and the air just kept going away, and they're going to run out of air in a short time, and they weren't going to have any more to put in there. And finally, an old engineer, been in subs from way back, came walking into the captain's room and just shouted over the captain and told the people what to do. Shut this down, shut this down, shut all the power down, all the lights and everything. And full force on the engines and put all the power to the batteries to run the engine, and they hydroplaned back up to the surface. And as soon as they popped above the surface, batteries just burning, smoking in there. They started the diesel engine and started coasting, and they couldn't go down again. Of course, they were filling the air tanks again and all this stuff, but there were holes in their ballast. If they stopped, they would sink. They hydroplaned on their fins all the way back to harbor. If they come across the enemy, they would have all drowned again. They would have gone down because they could not. You can't keep sustaining the batteries once you go down under the water, and that wouldn't keep them up. They had to find someplace shallow to be really quick. But they kept trying that, kept blowing the ballast, kept trying the same thing, and they were about to die, and somebody said, we got to try something different. And that's all I'm saying. Is this, put the energy that you've been putting into trying to change the minds of greedy, avaristic, selfish people who aren't going to change. Start coming together with people who are not selfish, are not greedy, who care about your rights as much as you care about your own, and start being kings and priests. Again, think about that. You're king, you're priest. You're in a congregation of 10 families. You pick a minister, not a ruler, a servant, not somebody who's going to tell you what to believe, but going to walk with you as a servant. He's going to help keep you all together, taking care of one another. That's what his job is. He's the servant. You're the king. You're the priest. And that means that if you need to do something, defense of one another, you have to come there for one another to be a defense to one another. If somebody needs help, somebody gets injured, somebody gets sick, somebody has to go to a doctor to get a leg set or whatever, you're the priests. This is what the priests were doing. When you gave your sacrifice in the Old Testament on the altars, they did not burn it up. They didn't set it on fire. It was burned up to you, but they used it to take care of the needy of their society. That was an offering to God to keep your society free. That's a book I have to finish. Now, if you read the book, Thy Kingdom Come, or the article, Sacrifice of Sophistry or Artifice in Language Land, you will see that that is what the altars were. They were living altars way back then in the days of Moses. Those stones were living altars. That's what the priests were doing. They were serving the tabernacles of the congregation. That's what it says. The word tabernacles is the same word for tent. The tents of the congregation. They were serving the individual homes of the people who gathered together in tens, hundreds, and thousands. They were serving those homes. How? Taking care of the needy. Father dies, there's a widow, there's orphans. They took care of them. How did they do this? The people in that congregation donated funds to him on his altar in the form of sheep, oil, grain, whatever they produced. A tenth of whatever they produced, they gave it to him to help take care of him and to help take care of the needy of his society. It was a tax called a tithe to actually perform services of society. That's what they were doing. They were learning to care about one another, learning to honor one another, honor their families, honor their fathers, honor the families of their neighbors, because their families of their neighbors were as important to them as their own family. What kind of a society is that going to produce? One that where you can get raped in the streets and nobody does anything? Well, eventually it did, because people became apathetic and didn't do it. They didn't care. They didn't work at it. You say, well, nobody in my congregation needs any help. Well, you still got to be there. And besides, you're talking kingdom, not congregationalism. So you have to think about the other congregations. The other congregations that are linked to your congregation through your minister, because he gets together with 9 other ministers and they pick a minister. And this is how they linked an entire nation together. What your system does is divide those families. Survey was showing that in neighborhoods, that 90-some percent of the people didn't really know their neighbors. 75% of the people, I think it was 75, 76% of the people, didn't know a single neighbor in their community. Not a single neighbor on their block. Didn't know a single one. That, you are in a desperate state as a society. You are all divided and you are all conquered, because none of you are being kings and priests. None of you are being kings and priests. So when they talk about us being kings and priests, they're not talking about you guys. You guys are slaves and servants. You are subject merchandise. You belong to the state. It's not your government. It is the government you have chosen for yourselves. And God goes on in 1 Samuel to say, go cry unto the gods that you have chosen for yourself, because I will not hear you in that day. How many times does he talk about not hearing you in that day? Because you don't realize that Christ appointed a kingdom to his ministers who followed certain protocols in the care and service to their people. And those people had to be kings and priests. They had to provide to that minister the means by which he could care for the needy. But your ministers are in Washington, D.C., and in your state capitals and in your county seats, and they want to provide for the needy too, but they don't do it by free will offerings like Moses, like the early church. They do it by forced offerings, and they should have the right to force the offerings from you, because you ask them to force the offerings from the rich, or those that had more than you. And really what's happening now, I know people living higher on the hog, on welfare, than old widows on Social Security that have to pay in to their needs. You rob widows and orphans. You covet your neighbor's goods. And you think you will find freedom by electing a different leader who will be more kind to you. No, it's not going to happen. Didn't work with Saul, who was a good guy till you gave him that kind of power. Barely worked with David, who screwed up left and right. And hasn't worked with anybody but Christ, who said, you got to take your responsibility to give up your life, so that you can have life more abundant. You have to become someone who loves your neighbor as much as yourself. You have to do it. And if you won't gather together to do that, to love your neighbor, then you should be in bondage. You should be under tribute. And your rulers should not only whip you with whips, they should whip you with scorpions, and they will. Because you're a worker of iniquity. Now, that's a hard message. Maybe I'll be a little gentler in the next show. But you need to hear this. 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. That's what you need to become, as a servant of God, by becoming a servant to one another. You cannot do that without gathering together. They had removed the silver from the Roman coins, and they ended up with runaway inflation. They removed them partially with Marcus, Anthony and Cleopatra, Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, but they really got going under Nero. He removed almost half of the silver. But shortly after that, there was no more silver in the coin. They had runaway inflation, and a loaf of bread went skyrocketing out of price, and people were starving, but not the Christians, because they had come together in these tens, hundreds, and thousands. They were taking care of one another. They had already left the decaying system. They had gotten out and formed a new system based on the appointment of Christ, which still is available to you today if you will honor the King and do as he says. You know, 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Who the heck is that? Fear God, the God in heaven, not the gods in your government, but the God in heaven. Honor the King. Who is the King? Who is the King? Aren't these the men that say there is another King? One Jesus? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Now, if you have contracts with the kings of the world, you're going to have to keep those contracts. But if you want to be a minister of Christ and give up all that, we can show you how to do that too. In the article, I quote the Call No Man on Earth Father, and I've already mentioned that. You need to understand what that means, to call no man on earth Father. Because you're calling the governments of the world your father. And Christ said, don't do that. You read that article and you tell me that you're not doing the exact opposite of what Jesus said to do or not do. You're doing what he said not to do. Pray to the Father in heaven only. But you don't pray to the Father in heaven. You apply to the fathers of the earth. And they're all around you. In every country, you have the fathers of the earth. These are these governments are based on the law of Petronius. It explains that in the article. And I'm not going to go into it. We don't have time. But you need to understand what a true Christian is. They are doers of the word. They're not hearers only. And the word means that you have to care for one another in real ways as kings and priests. You have to come together and sacrifice of your life so that you may have life more abundant as others sacrifice for you. Why should they sacrifice for you when all you want to do is take from them? It just doesn't work that way. Repent, turn around, make straight the way of the Lord. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.